This speech of Jesus is the last part of what is called the Little Apocalypse. It is Jesus' last extensive discourse to his disciples in the Gospel of Mark. And it is one of two major speeches in the Gospel of Mark in terms of the performance dynamics of this, in which the storyteller, as Jesus, addresses the audience as his disciples. So when you are telling this, be aware that you are Jesus speaking to your audience as the disciples. So the setting is that, imaginatively, sitting on the Mount of Olives overlooking the temple. It was one of the most spectacular views in the ancient world. The temple was gold, covered in gold. The temple enclosure was one of the largest architectural creations in the ancient world. And at the time of Jesus, you know, there was constant activity, building going on. It was the center of the nation. So this speech is then given in the context of the most spectacular perspective from which to see what has gone before and what is coming in the future. Another dimension of the setting of this is that Mark is telling this speech of Jesus in the context of the immediate aftermath of the end of the Jewish war. We don't know exactly what the date of Mark is. It's possible that it was written and first told then as early as 69 AD. Some scholars think that that is the case, and we don't know. But everyone has agreed that it is told in the context of the Jewish war. And my own opinion is that it is very probable that it was written and told first in the immediate aftermath of the end of the war. In 72, the summer of 72 was the end of the war in August, when the temple was destroyed and the armies of the Zealot revolt were finally defeated and massive slaughter in Jerusalem. It was a time of enormous tragedy. There are a number of allusions earlier in this speech to that experience. Wars and rumors of wars, the city that not one stone will be left upon another, that there will be such tribulation in those days as has never been before. That was descriptive of people's experience of the end of the war. I think it is very likely that Mark was written as a response to the end of the war and as a gospel of hope and of good news in the midst of that immense tragedy. The spirituality of this address is then the spirituality of waiting expectantly, of hoping for the establishment of the kingdom of God. The proclamation of the gospel is that Jesus is establishing that new kingdom, and that the responsibility then of the listeners is to watch, is to watch for the signs of its coming. So the spirit of this discussion, of this speech, is Jesus sitting on the Mount of Olives with the four disciples. It is prior to his own suffering and death, and it is an intimate conversation. It is relatively quiet. It is not, you know, a big speech like the speech of the parable of the sower or even its interpretation. This is a very small group, and Jesus is talking to them about what is going to happen. It's more like advice or preparation for a great crisis that is coming. And the meaning of this for Mark's listeners was then that Jesus, prior to this enormous tragedy that has happened, you know, spoke calmly, quietly, and with full faith and confidence in the coming of the kingdom of God. The structure of the speech moves from the coming of the Son of Man and his sending out his angels to the parable of the fig tree. When you see the leaves, you know that spring is near, to the discussion about what is the actual time when it will happen, and that no one knows, but that it will happen, therefore watch and stay awake. But the overall impact of this speech is that it establishes Jesus as the ruler of the cosmos. It is not Vespasian. It is not his son Titus who destroyed Jerusalem. Rather, the one who is in charge and who will finally be both vindicated and established as the ruler of the world by God is Jesus as the Son of Man. So the Romans may have won the battle, but Jesus will win the conflict between good and evil. And so this hope is of a different character than anything that we are used to. This is not about the possibility of a new party being in power. It is not about the possibility of even a new government. This is about the establishment of the reign, the government of God over the whole of the world. And its primary impact is then to set all of the tragedies of life and of war and destruction in the context of Jesus' coming and the establishment of God's kingdom and of looking for the signs of that, celebrating them, and believing that this is then part of this new age, this new government that God will establish.